All right, everybody, we got a weekend jam-packed full of football action all across the Bayou region. Not to mention, I think I feel the essence of a fantasy football draft coming on. Whole lots of things going on this weekend here in the Bayou region. Sports in the NFL and college football. We're back. It feels good. And let's go ahead and hit that intro. It is prime time on the True Bayou Sports Media Network. My name is Donald. I'm your host this and every week as we get you ready for another week of coverage of Bayou Region sports. If it's the New Orleans Saints, the LSU Tigers, New Orleans Pelicans, or your favorite team from across the region, from the Bayou City to the whole boot and through the Mississippi Sound, we get you ready for what's going down on the True Bayou Sports Media Network. All right, why wait around? Let's go ahead and talk about the main things we need to know. So, if you didn't see, the Saints have been very active this week. You have both trades going on. You named Spencer Rattler as a starter for your third preseason game, kind of showing that Kellen Moore, while not announcing his regular season starter, is leaning towards one guy or the other. Now, beyond that, let's not also forget that you have a lot also going on in the state. Week zero is here for college football. And then we're going to briefly talk about as well, the SEC just announced a 9-conference game schedule. Now, how are we going to go about this? Let's go ahead and start off first with college football. It's been very, very busy as far as the lead up to week zero. You see a lot going on in camps. You see a lot going on as teams are now starting to work on game prep, and it's no longer about just going and getting the team ready for the season. You're now getting teams ready for that first opponent. Well, week zero has arrived for about 10 total games coming up this weekend, and you have two of them featuring Louisiana teams, both with Nicholls and Southern kicking off, with Nicholls particularly right here in Thibodaux, and then with the Southern Jaguars heading over to Atlanta. So it should be a very fun weekend. You get both of those games on national television. Nicholls goes at noon on ESPN2. Southern's going to go at 6:30 on ABC for a countrywide audience. And this is something that I think, you know, obviously we go into the full details in Keeping It True by You in Louisiana. Go over and watch that episode. It is out now if you have not seen it yet and you want a full breakdown of the games. But looking at what's going to come from week zero, both of these schools, both of them, you have the opportunity to start off right. You have the opportunity in Nicholls to start a new head coaching tenure off right. Tony Rybicki takes over after the previous coach. You have a decade-plus long tenure. He's going to be looking to establish a winning culture and get Nicholls back to competing for Southland Conference championships. On the other hand, Terrence Graves comes in, continues his coaching run at Southern, and is showing you that he has the ability to continue and keep a roster in place that is competing year in, year out for SWAC championships. Now, last year, he played for that SWAC championship and came up just short in the final game, losing to Jackson State. But with the new format for SWAC football this year, where while not every game counts towards your SWAC record, you're pretty much only playing outside of conference NCCU in this MEAC SWAC Challenge and Fresno State in a revenue game for, let's be all, for all intents and purposes, you know, Southern going to collect check out in Fresno. Those 10 games otherwise than that, you're playing teams that are of your caliber and that are of your conference. And it sort of shows you that the time to ramp up, the time to find yourself and just sort of build slowly is not really here in college football anymore. And it's starting to become more and more of that as you enter the revenue sharing era. You have to be prepared to play the best of the best more often than ever and on a consistent basis. You cannot expect that you're going to be able to put in a game here to give you a break or a game there to give you a break. Your bye week is your only break now. Just in pretty plain terms, your bye week is your only break now. So we'll go ahead and we'll leave both those conversations in detail for both the schedule preview that's out on the channel and Keeping It True by You in Louisiana. Just sort of to wrap both those up, I think that, you know, Nichols is playing a very tough opponent, number four in the FCS rankings. I would just want them to show a good performance. A win is not expected, but it certainly would be very fun to, you know, experience and talk about, and, you know, we'll see what happens. On the Southern front of things, look, it is a situation where I believe they have the upper hand in this matchup, and they should be competing to win the matchup. Neutral site games, for whatever it is, I just like Southern in those. I like whenever they get to go out there and bring their audience and really show that they are a national powerhouse. There's a lot invested in this Southern team. This is not a small team. This is not a team that, you know, just is getting by this year. This is a team that is designed to go out there and win a Celebration Bowl with, if the opportunity comes. So that's the next time you would potentially even see an NCCU. So go out there and play a hard game. But I'm excited for both of those. Let's stay in college football. Saints talk will be at the end of the episode. So if you want to go ahead and scroll forward, you'll find that there. But let's go ahead and talk a little bit about what came out with the SEC. That was a major shakeup that a lot of people knew the writing was on the wall, but they weren't sure if they were really going to see it. So we put a post out there. We talked a little bit about what was going to be the nature of how this is going to take place. So starting next year in the 2026 football season, which is also debatably when the discussion of a expanded playoff is coming up, you will see the SEC transition to 9 conference game schedule, which basically means you will have LSU and all the other teams playing 3 permanent opponents, which are yet to be determined. And the SEC normally does a schedule reveal show sometime in the spring, right around time of fall football. Spring football. They also at the same time might announce this maybe at the SEC championship game. I could see something like that happening where you sort of have all the focus already on you. It'll be interesting to see how Greg Sankey and his office goes about doing that. But nevertheless, you now are going to be looking at, again, 3 permanent opponents. We know the type of permanent opponents the SEC has given LSU in the past: Florida, Alabama, Ole Miss, A&M, Arkansas. It would be interesting to see if those stay or if it changes, if it's truly more of a, you know, they say it's rivalry based. So I have to assume at least LSU Ole Miss stays because they do have somewhat of a, you know, thing going there. LSU Arkansas has a trophy. And then outside of that, the favorite saying amongst all LSU fans is that LSU is everybody's rival. So it could be Alabama. It could be Florida. It could be A&M. Lots of options. It could be Oklahoma even, as we saw, maybe was that a test run whenever they scheduled them back-to-back years to end the season now that Bedlam is no longer available for Oklahoma. You know, it kind of shows that maybe that could be a direction that they go. And I don't know how LSU fans feel about having 2, you know, northern, for lack of, you know, all other description, 2 other northern opponents being your permanent rivals. I don't know if that's good for travel. You're looking at least 8 to 9 hours to both of them. Not the best, but LSU's not really around anyone else anyway. So it'll be interesting to see if that's the choice that comes of it. So other than that, you know, we're not going to delve too much into that. Of course, if you are still here, you're still enjoying this episode of Primetime here on True Bayou Sports Media. Don't forget, you can subscribe, like, hit the notification. If you're on TikTok, go ahead and follow us there. Or, of course, if you're listening anywhere on any of the podcast platforms, first of all, thank you. Secondly, don't forget, you can also subscribe on those platforms and get every episode of True Bayou Sports Media Primetime. Now, the meat and potatoes, the big stories. We teased it earlier. We're going to go ahead and finish it off right now. Denver, Sean Payton, the Denver Saints, as some call them, come into New Orleans after another trade goes on between these two organizations during the week. You bring in a very, what I believe is a project wide receiver. Some that you would even say he's going to be your, at best, 5th string. But I think Mickey Loomis knows why he did it. some fans might question why he did it for the price he did. If you don't know, we're talking about Devon Vele. You may not be familiar with the name, and I certainly wouldn't give you any flack for not knowing him. Basically, this is a Utah product who is a little bit older, for being quite frank. Second-year player at 27 years old. He had a pretty productive year with Denver in 2024. He had 475 yards catching, 3 touchdowns, so certainly was not unable to play the position, or was not, you know, poor in the times that he had the ability to go out there. Had a very high catch percentage as well, north of 60%. So whenever they throw the ball to him, he does bring it in. And it kind of says a little bit about how Mickey Loomis likes to get sort of his project receivers. We certainly know that when Bub Means went down, you were losing one of your bigger receivers. And otherwise, the Saints were going to be running 4 guys out there that are under 6'2". And that just isn't really conducive for NFL play. So you go out and you get a 6'5 receiver, big body type guy. One thing to mention here, you may be drawing a similarity to another previous Saints wide receiver from the 7th round in Marcus Colston, who was 6'4 and had a very similar frame. So is it a question where Mickey Loomis says, okay, if I can get that type of talent, and then you assume that one of the other, you know, guys is going to be your Lance Moore type talent, and you have a Devery type, oh, we can just recreate 09, we can recreate 06. I would hope it's not that cut and dry for Mickey, but it seems like that's at least to some degree what he's kind of reformulating, just how he's bringing in these talents. Now, you give up a 4th round and a 7th round selection. So a lot of people will tell you that's really bad value. I don't think it's the worst. I personally would have just rather probably given up one 27th, fourth round pick. Instead, you give up a 26th fourth round pick, which will cut down your draft capacity this upcoming year, which could be a very high fourth round pick. You could be picking in the top 5 of the 4th round if things sort of see the wagon wheels fall off. I don't love giving that pick away, but the 27th, 7th round pick, look, I'm going to be very transparent with you. 7th round picks are not designed to last in this league. Usually a rookie contract and that's it. The average NFL tenure for a player is just over 3.5 years. I'm not really too worried about it. If he goes out, gives you 500 yards this year, 500 yards next year, he's more than made up for that 7th round pick would ever be worth anything. So don't read too much into that. 7th round picks, a lot of punters, kickers, those types of guys. They certainly have long careers, but they're not exactly cornerstones of the franchise, we should say. So, look, Devon Vele, I feel like that was a fine transition. I feel like it was a fine pickup, and we'll probably get to see him in game one here, which, of course, is a little bit weird that you trade again from your last preseason game, Kellen Saunders, over to Jacksonville. And now prior to Denver, you then pick up a Denver wide receiver to bring in for this preseason game. I don't know if Mickey is doing something there on purpose, but, you know, it is interesting to see you shuffling amongst the opponents that you're already playing. Take it for what it is. And then, of course, you have to also take for what it is that Spencer Rattler is starting this game against Denver. Certainly was the hero of the week for the Saints, getting you to a tie in that Jacksonville game. Very exciting moment. You know, for those of us who were left in the dome, as many people left whenever the interception was thrown and you were presumably out of it, you know, I felt as though it was very exciting to see a drive get put together, because that's been the whole thing that's lacking with the Saints. In the preseason, you had one touchdown through 7 quarters, and that certainly is not going to kill you every single week, but the majority of weeks and the majority of the season, you can't get away with that type of production. You need to start seeing the Saints offense put up more. That's why they won 5 games last year, and it's why it's going to look even more difficult this year if it doesn't improve. Now, frankly, I know we're playing a bare-bones playbook, but I liked how Spencer Rattler was able to command the team that he had down the field and put themselves in a position to score. Now, I'm not going to hate too much on Tyler Shuck. I think that if you have a couple things go differently in his tenure of the offense, he probably gets in the end zone as well last week, and then the conversation is a lot more difficult. But at the same time, I saw things from Tyler Shuck last week whenever he took a very bad sack opening the game, and then he did a emergency check down to his lineman, which also would not net you very positive results in the regular season, if we're being quite honest. It goes to that and just slow read progressions. And I talked about it previously. I don't think it's quite hitting fast enough. And that just is a transition to the NFL. A lot of people say you wasted the pick. Why did you go with him? You know, look, if a guy needs a year to get used to NFL reads, to get used to checking that ball down faster, I certainly didn't think Spencer Rattler was in a great position to do it last year. And it showed at times that he wasn't in a great position to do it. So I'm not going to go out there and fault the guy for trying his best. I think that it was a very good effort all around. So if Tyler Shuck doesn't get the starting job, I don't think Saints fan needs to panic about the 40th pick going to Tyler Shuck. He's still going to be a very competent backup. We'll see if they trade to get somebody else, a veteran. Certainly a lot of people will try and tell you Jameis is the target number one for that. I don't think that's even out of the question at this point, because realistically, you know, a veteran is going to be needed at some point. Taysom Hill's injury situation, it makes it very skeptical to if he could even step in to be a fourth string emergency. Jake Haener will probably be the designated third quarterback on the roster the majority of the year, so he will not necessarily be eligible unless emergencies take place. At this point, I think it's Spencer Rattler's job. Now, it's the job otherwise of this offense and this team to go and get a win in preseason game 3. Now, will it matter? No. But what I think it does show is that the team can put the win together. You need to utilize your starters for what they're going to play in this game, which, you know, Kellen Moore said that there will be starters playing in this game. You need to utilize those starters to get the offense running. You go into week 1 against Arizona. That is a team that has the opportunity to give you every chance to win that game. And if you don't have your internals ready to go with your starters, with your key impact players, I don't think you're going to get the external result of being able to capitalize on Arizona's mistakes. So, again, getting your internal systems down, having your playbook be seamless, be integrated fully. I feel like it's been pretty good so far. I can't really fault the way how the playbook has been brought along so far. I like that you have a lot of opportunities for creativity. Obviously, the running game is the most glaring part that needs help at this point, but again, you're down two offensive linemen. Trevor Penning is not showing that he'll be back any sooner than we expect him to be back. Outside of that, Talia Sefuaga goes down with some type of injury. Some say it's a knee. Kellen Moore said a little thing happened, so, but don't worry, he'll be fine. So I'm not assuming we'll see him until week 1. Outside of that, you also have your long snapper that has a hamstring issue. Is he going to play? I don't know. And it just sort of gets a little bit comical, unfortunately, that there is that many just compounding offensive line problems. You know, again, Trevor Penning, like I said, he's at least probably week 3, based on the latest updates. You know, on the 12th, they said just a few weeks. So a few means at least 3. And knowing the type of injury history that the Saints have, I would assume it's 3 weeks. Assumption, full assumption, by the way. If he plays week 2, don't be mad at me. Beyond that, Alante Taylor, I don't think he's going on Saturday. He doesn't really need to. If he did, cool. Devin Neal resumed practice to some degree, so that gives you another running back. But the way how I feel like Clyde has been playing, at least as a, you know, check down running back, he's been doing really good. I don't know if we'll see Alvin during this preseason. It's not really needed, but it would be cool if he did get to, you know, at least go out there for a couple snaps against his former head coach. Be fun to watch. Beyond that, look, it's got to be a clean game for the Saints. And it comes down to that. I feel like they have, again, everything in position to do that. I'm not really too shocked by the way how things have gone. One of the things that you might see from a statistical standpoint that'll raise an eyebrow is that so far, Spencer Rattler is the leading rusher on the Saints through preseason. For Kendre Miller, that's not acceptable. I feel like you have to go and improve your performance in game three here, and you have to at least show that you are capable of getting good quality yards per carry, that you're capable of being dynamic in the rushing game. I certainly think Kendre Miller has continued to show himself as a very valid special teams option, but for where he is in his career, a special teams option is not going to be something that gets you a contract extension on this particular team. So I think if he has a good game, that would be absolutely critical to his development and sort of give him a better shot to cement himself as running back two. Because right now, as much as people will say it's Kamara, then Kendre Miller, I don't know if it actually is yet. And I want to see him do better. That's my personal takeaway for Game 3 on Saturday in the Superdome against Sean Payton. You already know some of the major things going on. It'll be fun to watch, fun to see. I'm going to kind of just be sitting and providing a top-down view of everything going on. Again, the Saints and Nichols both kick off at the same time, so we'll be going sort of head-for-head on live updates for them. Beyond that, the Southern game at night will certainly be one with a lot of eyeballs on it. I'm excited to see what the television number for that is. That'll be a really fun thing to look at and just see how big of an impact. Plus, we are less than a practical week away now. Team will be traveling before the next episode goes out. So LSU Clemson right around the corner. You'll be seeing a Keeping It True by You LSU episode coming out early next week with all the breakdown, as well as some other fun Keeping It True by You in Louisiana episodes, which we're not going to talk about just yet, but keep your eyes peeled. I think you'll be excited to see all of those. Once again, thanks everybody for watching. Don't forget, hit the subscribe button on the way out. Leave a comment down below. Tell me your favorite thing that you're looking to see this weekend in Bayou Region sports. And go ahead and make sure that the people who you know love this area, love these sports teams, go ahead and see this video as well. Hit the share button. Send it out to all your friends and family. Thanks everybody, and we'll see you in the next one here on True Bayou Sports Media Primetime. This has been a True Bayou Media production. This show is for entertainment purposes only and does not render legal or financial advice. Remember to bet responsibly. Distribution of this podcast is prohibited without the express written consent of True Bayou Media or its subsidiaries. Thanks for being true by us. We can't wait until next time we keep it true by you.